Welcome to the Faith Assembly Podcast. We're so glad that you've joined us today. It is our desire at Faith to help you connect, grow, and go in your walk with God. We hope you're encouraged by this message from Pastor Steve.
Are you ready for the Word this morning? You know, last week we launched this series of messages, and we're talking about being anchored. And today we're going to continue in that. And, you know, we took our text from Hebrews 6:19, where the writer to the Hebrews says, we have this anchor, this hope. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. And I think sometimes when we hear things like this verse, we need to give a more careful consideration to the spiritual principle associated with this text. Because sometimes I believe that it seems to me, or I'll talk to you out of my own flaws and my own imperfections, okay? Can I do that? It seems to me sometimes that we only deal with what's before us at face value, without giving any further consideration to the issue as a whole. So when we hear, here's my point, when we hear the writer to the Hebrews saying to people of faith, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, we begin to think in very binary terms that either we have or we have not. And then we mistakenly will say that because I have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I have anchored my soul in this hope. Or because someone has not received, not heard the gospel, then therefore they have not anchored. And it's just very black and white, it's just very binary, and we don't see any other circumstantial evidences here at play. So, and here's what happens. We begin to operate on this mistaken assumption that because we have believed in the Lord Jesus for our salvation, that we have also anchored in Him as our hope. And what happens is a misapplied truth here that leads to some frustration. And there's much more to consider. The principal concept of this message, the anchoring of one's soul, is not exclusive to Christianity. The principal issue of anchoring one's soul is not exclusive to Christianity. As a matter of fact, sometimes it can be that it's not even consistent throughout Christianity. And honestly, this is even an issue that professing believers need to revisit from time to time to make sure that we are anchoring our hope in a pattern that is consistent as set forth in this text. Because just because we confess Christ doesn't mean that we've always got our hearts and minds anchored to the right things. The writer to the Hebrews is specific that it is this hope we have as an anchor for our souls. The aforementioned promises of God and the surety of His word is truth, and it's unchanging and it's not going to fail. This hope that we have, this promise that comes with no higher guarantee than the great I Am has said and has declared and decreed for your life and mine, that is the hope that we have. It is the rightly applied hope of the believer. This is where our trust should be placed. This is where our trust should rest and be anchored. It is steadfast and it is sure. Now I want you to listen really carefully to what I'm about to say, because I cannot afford for you to misunderstand what comes after this. I believe according to John 14:6, Acts 4:12, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, and a host of all other scriptures, that there is salvation in no other source outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. period. Exclusively. So what I'm about to say next, I need you to understand, I'm not addressing the issue of salvation. But when the writer to the Hebrews says, this hope, he is offering specificity, not exclusivity. It's a hope, but not the only one on which some people stake their lives. This is not a person that, there's not a person that you and I will meet at some point in this life, saved, unsaved, maybe they belong to another tradition of faith, another religious sect, whatever the case is, that even in the present time doesn't have their hope pinned on something. Maybe it's financial windfalls. Man, if I can just attain this space, this place, everything's going to be fine. Maybe it's a certain kind of relationship, and I'm not even necessarily talking about romantic relationships. There's a lot of people out there in the world who are hungry for friendship and this special or particular kind of friends group. And man, if I could just get this kind of people around me, then everything in my life would be okay. And honestly, that is where their hopes are anchored. That is where their minds are anchored. And they're saying, man, if I can just get to that place. There are other people who are anchored in government policies and regimes and just saying, you know what, I've got Jesus, and thank you, Lord, for your saving grace that one day, by and by, up in the sky, everything's going to be okay. But right here, right now, my hope is in the next election cycle. We place our hopes on advanced achievement. Man, if I can just get to that next spot, everything's going. How many? Just be honest, okay? Just be honest. How many of you have ever lived life with the thought or the feeling that if the next thing will ever just come on and get here, everything's going to be all right? And we have this hope, this expectation that just hinges on all of these circumstantial things. And, you know, if, but can I tell you this, that if your hope is truly in the promises of God and in the person of Jesus Christ, there don't have to be any contingencies in your life to know whether or not you're going to be satisfied. There are various anchor points, all of which have the same expectation. That regardless of where or what we have dropped our anchors into, we all do it with the similar expectations that this is it. This is the answer. When the hard time comes, this is what I'll need. When my experience has been less than satisfying in other situations, once I've reached this point, I'll be fulfilled. This is going to be the supply and the solution to all of life's complexities. If I can just gain this status, if I can just amass this amount, if I can just acquire that thing. And the expectation is the boat, the ship, regardless of the size, dropping the anchor commensurate to the size, its size, it does so with the expectation that the craft is going to be steadied regardless of the conditions. And I'm just here to tell you today that that's not necessarily always the case. Admittedly, I'm not much of a mariner. And I didn't know what I didn't know about the art of anchoring until I started studying for this series. And do you know there's actually a thing called anchoring etiquette? There's anchoring etiquette, and it is just accompanied by a host of do's and do nots and all these things. There's a bunch of guidelines around the practice of anchoring a vessel. And I read some interesting stuff, but the one thing that really caught my attention was an article of an incident reported in 2021 that says that there was an alarm that sounded in the control room of one of the six oil rigs off the coast of California, off of Huntington Beach. And the alert was for an undersea oil pipeline that had lost pressure as a result of a rupture that would ultimately end threatening wildlife reserves, killing fish, fouling beaches. Still under investigation at the time of this article's writing, it was then thought that this rupture had occurred as a result of a large commercial freighter that was dragging anchor, caught the pipeline, drug it over 100 feet from its original position until it at last split. The moral of the story is that you and I have to make sure that we are anchored in the appropriate places, because dropping anchors in the wrong place will make a huge mess. Some have anchored in the wrong places even and become stuck. You're not just not adrift. You're stuck. You built some euphoric life saying, you know what, this is what perfection looks like. That's what a season looks like. And sometimes we just build all our hopes on a season. But I want to tell you something. I've lived enough life now to tell you that seasons change. Seasons change. People build a whole life around them little pumpkins all around the table, and then one day you look around, they're all grown and gone. You've got no relationship with the person staring back across the table from you, but you're anchored in yesterday and you never move forward with the seasons of life. You're disappointed. You're empty. You're confused. What happened? We don't know why. We grew apart. You believed it would always be that way, but life moves on. Seasons and traditions have changed, but you're stuck in a season of the way things used to be and are miserable in the present. Matter of fact, you might have even anchored down somewhere, got stuck, and the tide gone out, and you're sitting in a dry place. Wondering what in the world? But can I tell you something today, church? Life is filled with false hopes and false securities. And we are met with a constant barrage of promises for health and wealth and well-being from every source imaginable. And from an early age, we learn that if we can just get strong enough, smart enough, be pretty enough, and save enough money, that everything's going to be all right. And for a little while, it may be, and that's all fine and dandy, until one day, of course, it's not. And this affects all of us, so please don't feel like you're being singled out this morning, because we could have, you know what, I could pick on myself or anybody else in the room, I'm sure, where we have placed our hopes in the wrong places. We have misappropriated trust and said that this is what I'm going to need to get me through the next hard time, the next season of life, and it's been something other than the promises of God. It's been the extenuating circumstances of life, and what we found is in those moments, when the winds and the waves beat against us, that it truly wasn't what we were expecting it would have been. So, what is the thing in your life that calls for your allegiance and your loyalty? What are you anchored into today that all of your trust is in, that you're saying, you know what, if this is, when the hard time comes, this is it. Do you remember that I said earlier you need to be careful where you drop an anchor, because dropping anchor in the wrong place causes a mess? I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 15, however you access the scriptures. A very familiar story if you've been in church life any length of time. I'm sure that you've heard this message at least 47 times. Today we're going to make it 48. And we pick up the narrative in verse 11. Chapter 15, verse 11. And Jesus says, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He journeyed to a far country. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. I believe there's some translations that say, and he joined himself. He anchored. He anchored in something, an existence outside the Father's house. And he said, this is where my destiny will be fulfilled. This is where good things will happen for me. This is where I will experience true life and true liberty. This is where I will find fulfillment. But when he had spent all, see, seasons change. There arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country. There it is. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have enough bread to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He is chased after earthly things. He has experienced all of the transient pleasures of this life, but eventually the money is gone, the energies are gone, he's left with nothing, his hopes are dashed, he's disappointed, all the hope that he must have had in creating this new life apart from his family is and away from his father, it all ended, and when the hope he was holding on to slipped through his fingers, he understood that it was neither firm nor secure, it was fleeting, it was temporal, because it wasn't founded in something that was eternal. And I want to ask you today, church, are you anchored in something that's eternal? Are your hopes in something that is eternal? People come, people go. Wealth comes, wealth goes. Health is here today, gone tomorrow. Situations change, but the word of God is forever. His promise over your life is steadfast and secure. Is your hope truly built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? He went out and he anchored to something different, and he made a mess. He made a mess. And through this story, we get an amazing picture of God's love and acceptance. Here's the realization. The realization is that one day the word says that he came to himself. I appreciate that verbiage, but you don't just find your way to yourself. The Holy Spirit awakens something on the inside of you and brings about a revelation and a clarity that enables you through the grace of God to be able to see the condition that you're in. And he understood in that moment that what he had done was forsaken his sonship. And then he realized in that moment that his true worth, his true value wasn't in the wealth, it wasn't in the party, it wasn't in the people, it wasn't in the friendships, but his true wealth was in his sonship. And when you and I realize that the true wealth of our lives is not in riches, it's not in the things of this world, but it is that Jesus Christ has come, suffered, and died, that you and I could be counted the children of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, we realize that when He's all we've got, He's been everything that we've needed the whole time. And the son realizes what he's done, and he decides to head home. And this is so beautiful. His father, who apparently had been waiting and watching, saw him from far away, and he ran to him, and he embraced his wayward son. He welcomed him home. The father didn't scold him to shame or anything. He hugged him, he embraced him, and he eventually threw a massive party. Look at that. The father's house and the party. Can I tell you something? The God people party is the best kind of party of all. I want to just say to you today that if you're tired, if you're frustrated, if you're angry, disappointed, disillusioned with the way things are turning out in life, I want to ask you to examine where your hope is anchored. Where is your hope anchored? Because of the true hope, you know, this life is filled with troubles, and this is not in my text, but I feel like I need to remind you this morning. This life is full of hard times. But Paul, writing to the Roman church, said, look, we don't despise tribulation, because we know that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces hope. And the real hope does not disappoint. Will it always turn out like you want? No, it probably won't. But hope doesn't disappoint. That's okay. This thing that I was hoping for, if it turns out, that would be nice. But if it doesn't, that's okay, because my hope is not in it. My hope is in Him. How many of us simply need to head home to the assurances offered by our Heavenly Father, where moth nor rust don't corrupt, where the thieves don't break in and steal, where the fickle economies of this world no longer have contingent effects upon our welfare? What are you holding on to today? What do you need to let go of so you can grab hold of Jesus? What time do you need to spend this week getting your priorities right? It's time that we let go of all the false securities and we hold tight to Jesus. The Word says that He was in this world and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came into His own and His own did not receive Him. But as many as did receive Him, He gave them the right to become the children of God, to those who believed in His name. And I want to talk to you today. If you've been placing your hope and your trust in peripheral things, understand this today, that your true value is intrinsic to the fact that you're a child of God. It doesn't matter if you're rejected in this world. It doesn't matter if you never get the big break. It doesn't matter if all the things don't shake out, line up, square up, whatever you want to call it. You're a child of God. And that's where true and lasting hope comes from, that is steadfast and unshakable. He is our hope. He is a firm and secure anchor for the soul. So let's make sure today that we are anchored in the appropriate places. Amen? I want to invite you to stand. Thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask you in this moment just to search our hearts, to know our thought and see every desperate struggling in our minds, where we're trying to join the pieces of seeming nonsense that have come into our lives. We're trying to factor all the equations and make it all work out in a favorable way, and we don't see it. But we know that your word is that you're working all things together for our good, and we trust that. We hope in that. We rest in that. God, when we don't understand, we have a word that says that your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts higher than our thoughts. Help us, Lord, to be able to rest in that. God, when we're facing the uncertainties of this life, maybe even the finality of this life, we have a word that instructs and informs us, Lord, that this life is not all there is. Help us, God, to face those moments with that truth, that our hope truly would be in nothing less than your blood and righteousness, that all of our hopes would rest on promises that are yes and in Christ Jesus, amen. That our true hope would be in a God that calls things that are not as though they are. And Lord, that your people would rest in you. I want to offer two very simple points of response here this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed, and you'd say to me, Pastor, I need to make a choice today. I've anchored in a lot of different things, but I've never anchored in a faith in Christ Jesus. And today, I want to set that straight. And I want to yield my life, surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? If that's you today, would you just slip a hand up wherever you are? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Garth. Second, you're in this room. You lay awake at night. Sometimes it seems like you're about to go crazy, because it has seemed to you that life has become so tumultuous that there is no firm or sure place for you to cast your hopes. Jesus wants to give you rest today. It's not a sin that you have cast your hope in some other direction. It's a part of a spiritual maintenance, to be sure that our minds and our hearts and thereby our hopes are being renewed in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, we drift. Sometimes we just think we know better. But today, if you need true and lasting and real peace that passes all understanding, just to pervade those places in your lives, I just want to invite you to step out for some time around these altars this morning. We're going to pray and trust God as we're closing, and just believe for miracles in this house today. Can we do that?
We hope you enjoyed this inspirational message today. If you would like more information about Faith Assembly, please visit us on the web at faith-assembly.org. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you have a blessed day.